You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The Biden administration and China policy. I welcome Craig Singleton, a fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, particularly focused on China, because the policy is determinative of the fate of this administration and the next administration. But I come to this story having been informed that Beijing wishes to speak with Janet Yellen, Secretary of the Treasury, or Gina Raimondo, Secretary of Commerce, but not necessarily with Antony Blinken, the Secretary of State. At first, I heard this information as a personality contest, but now I have reason to pause and reconsider. I welcome Craig to help me understand what the Biden policy is towards the People's Republic of China, or to be precise, because I'm following his most recent article at Foreign Policy, what the several policies are of the Biden administration. Craig, a very good evening to you. Several policies can be instructive. You keep the foe or the adversary or the negotiator on the other side guessing. What are the several policies? Are they commerce, treasury, and state? Good evening to you.
No, thanks so much, John. I mean, I think the several policies have a lot less to do with the specific parts of the U.S. government and a lot more with the tension that sort of exists within this administration about whether we can actually compete and coexist with China at the same time. Like, how do we thread the needle there? And I think that the Chinese have very deftly exploited that those cleavages across the U.S. interagency, across these departments and agencies, to sort of play different sides off of one another. They do play favorites to some extent. I think domestically, right, the result has been a really fractured policymaking process at the White House that produces very contradictory pronouncements, which I think more often than not contribute to confusion rather than clarity. And I think on the, you know, the musical chairs of invitations to Beijing, the clear focus on commerce and the clear focus on treasury have much more to do with the fact that China's near-term development really hinges upon continued access to U.S. technology and U.S. capital. And so on those two core issues, the Chinese leadership recognizes that they must maintain some linkages to the United States, even on these, as at the same time, rather, that they explore an alternate international architecture apart from the United States. And that's sort of why I think you've seen this resistance to meet with Secretary of State Blinken, to meet with other senior officials in the administration, particularly at the highest levels of, you know, including Xi Jinping. And it's because they are developing this alternate world order, which they feel empowered to do, but they're not quite ready yet to cut the cord on technology and on capital. And that's why they're going to continue, I think, to push pretty intensely for those relationships and that contact with Secretary Yellen and Secretary Raimondo.
The spy balloon. I'm coming to understand that that is a major turning point in the conversation between Beijing and Washington. To my knowledge, Beijing, through the foreign ministry, continues to maintain a meteorological research platform that was blown off course accidentally, and that the U.S. overreacted or reacted hostily by shooting it down, and no other explanation has been offered from Beijing. Is that a problem for Washington, Craig?
I thought it would have been. I mean, in so many respects, Beijing boxed themselves in by holding themselves to this line, even as there is ample evidence to suggest this was not a meteorological balloon and that it was, you know, stocked to the brims with sensitive sensors and other collection equipment specifically intended to sort of surveil key U.S. military installations across the United States. But, you know, most recently, we sort of saw in a background call with the National Security Advisor, Jake Sullivan, the notion that we have to move past the balloon. And I think part of the challenge here is that Beijing sort of assesses, well, the U.S. seems so desperate for contact. We're practically pleading for it, that we're not going to actually impose any real serious consequences for the entire spying saga. So their goal, their hope, I think, is really to wait it out, to assume that we will move past it, and that the U.S. Will not actually sort of institute any meaningful steps to display our displeasure, to hold people accountable. And so the strategy does seem to be paying off quite well for the Chinese in this moment. I have a hard time believing that the Chinese would ever sort of backtrack and acknowledge the totality of that, not just the one spy balloon that crossed the United States just a few months ago, but the totality of this global program. And in their mind, they don't need to, because the U.S. keeps trying to call them and set up meetings, and they haven't had to put forward anything that sort of even resembles a concession.
The U.S. deployment in the Philippines, the conversation between Japan and South Korea, AUKUS, the selling of attack submarines to Australia, I could go on. The U.S. is building an alliance that surrounds China. Does the Biden administration believe this is a message of engagement, or does the Biden administration present this to Beijing as this is the hammer if you move?
I'm not sure that that this administration or any other would be so bold as to make that sort of a claim, but I think the reason that we are seeing this very serious shift across alliance networks in the Indo-Pacific has a lot more to do with China's belligerence and just growing concern and recognition across parts of Northeast Asia about China's broader ambitions, the broader aggressiveness. And so it does make for some what are interesting and strange bedfellows. You talk about the rapprochement between Japan and South Korea, something I think most Asia watchers are fascinated by, excited by, but not something many of us really would have predicted just a few short years ago. The basing agreement in the Philippines, you're starting to see, I think, a greater willingness of some other countries in the region to spend more on defense, Japan in particular. And so while China views these moves as sort of reaffirming its fears about encirclement and bloc confrontation, the reality is that the U.S. is pursuing a really interesting strategy in the region, and it's not just focused on alliances. It's increasingly focused on alignment. And I think that is where there is just tremendous opportunity space for this administration and whatever comes after it to sort of rethink our linkages to this part of the world, recognizing that replicating anything that sort of looks like NATO seems truly beyond aspirational at this point, and perhaps counterproductive. What can we do to build out this broader ecosystem of alignment on different issues with countries in the region, such that it introduces doubt into Xi Jinping's calculus about a potential military reunification with Taiwan, but also perhaps sort of starts to create problems for China as it gets increasingly belligerent in the South China Sea?
Less than a minute, Greg. Why won't Xi Jinping take President Biden's call? Is there an explanation from Washington? Less than a minute.
I mean, I think that Xi Jinping says, I don't need to take his call. Xi Jinping has wedded himself pretty clearly to a policy that says, we are rising, you are declining. We are building out a new international architecture that is based on our values, our interests, and that purposely excludes the United States. And so the idea that Beijing would just continue to engage with the United States for engagement's sake actually extends the remaining half-life of the very liberal order that Xi Jinping is attempting to get rid of.
Craig Singleton for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, writing in Foreign Policy. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.